Christmas. Welcome to Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. I am Pastor James Preuss of Trinity Lutheran Church in Ottumwa, Iowa. That portion of God's Word which we consider today is the Gospel lesson for Advent 4, and the Holy Spirit caused it to be recorded in John chapter 1, which we read as follows. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John the Baptist confesses, and in his confession, he teaches us how to confess. To confess means to speak the same. John repeats back the same message that God gives him to speak. And we, by repeating the words of John the Baptist, confess Christ. John the Baptist speaks the truth. So when we speak what he speaks, we too confess the truth. John confesses and does not deny, but confesses. Of course, whenever you confess, you deny something. By confessing to be a voice sent by God to prepare the way of the Lord, John must confess himself not to be the Christ. Yet, the priests and the Levites sent by the Pharisees were not satisfied with this answer. "Are you Elijah?" they ask. Now, John certainly comes in the spirit of Elijah, so that even Jesus Christ himself calls him Elijah. Yet John answers, "No, he is not Elijah sent down from heaven." "Are you the prophet?" they then ask. John is neither the prophet prophesied by Moses, whom God would raise up from among the Jews. That prophet is the very Christ, whom John has already said he is not. Nor is John like the prophets of the Old Testament who longed to see what they prophesied yet died before its fulfillment. John is preparing the way of the Christ who is come, who has arisen, who stands now among the people. John is a voice preparing his way. But these priests and Levites are not satisfied with this answer either. They despise John for being a voice. If you are just a voice, and you're not someone important, like the Christ or Elijah or one of the prophets, then why are you baptizing? Why do you have so many people coming out to hear you? John answers in a way saying, "Yeah, you're right, I am just a voice. I baptize with water. But pay attention to the one whose way I prepare. He's much greater than I am, and he is already standing among you." John, of course, is speaking of Jesus Christ, true God, who has joined our human race in fulfillment of the prophecies. Yet the priests and Levites should not despise John for being a voice, because he is the very voice sent by God to prepare the way of Christ, our Lord, into our hearts. John says he baptizes with water. That's a way of saying, "Yes, I am only a tool, like a hammer or a saw." Yet John is not saying that his baptism is nothing. Rather, John or Jesus himself indicates that John's baptism is from heaven. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 21. So while John is just a man baptizing with plain water, his baptism is from God in heaven. So while John is just a man speaking ordinary words, and he's not the Christ or Elijah or one of the prophets, and his words are so ordinary that even tax collectors, sinners, and soldiers can understand them, yet his words are from heaven, and his message raises valleys and lowers hills to prepare the way of God's Son. And this indeed is the way it always is. Those who consider themselves wise and important despise the voice God sends out into the world for its meager appearance, so that Isaiah the prophet himself declares, "Who has believed what he has heard from us?" Yet those who do believe the voice God sends declare, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." Why? Because this good news grants forgiveness and eternal life to all who believe it. The voice is despised by those who cannot look past the man wearing camel's hair and a leather belt, eating locusts and wild honey. The voice is ignored by those who will not consider it the voice of God. Yet Jesus says to his disciples, "The one who hears you hears me." And God himself made John the voice crying in the wilderness. This is why the prophet Moses rebuked the people of Israel by saying, "What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." And so we should not only listen to the voice from God, but we should repeat the words this voice proclaims. That is, we should confess what he confesses to us. We should make his sermon our personal confession. St. John the Baptist and all of Holy Scripture teach us to confess two things. First, something about ourselves. Second, something about Christ. First, what do John and Holy Scripture teach us to confess about ourselves? That we are sinners. Scripture tells us that John told his hearers to repent. Now, the word repent has a broad and a narrow meaning. I spoke about the broad meaning of repent last week in my sermon. The broad meaning of repent has two parts. The first is sorrow over sin, and second, faith in Christ. The narrow meaning of repent, however, only includes the first part of the broad meaning, that is, sorrow over sin. When John preaches this narrow repentance, he is telling his hearers to confess something about themselves, that they are sinners. That is why St. Matthew's Gospel records that John's hearers were confessing their sins to John in the Jordan. This is what Scripture consistently teaches us to confess about ourselves. Psalm 32 states, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." This is what Scripture tells us to confess about ourselves, and this is what the voice who prepares the way of the Lord tells us to confess. In this way, the way is made straight for Jesus. Isaiah says that the voice will raise valleys and flatten mountains and hills to make way for the Lord. Yet this is spoken as an analogy. The way of the Lord is the way to our hearts, and the valleys are raised and the mountains flattened when we are brought to repentance, that is, when we confess that we are sinners. Now, it is not true that all sins are the same. Some sins are worse than other sins. Some sins have worse consequences, cause more harm, drive you further from repentance, and harden your heart. Everyone knows this. This is why you get a ticket for illegal parking, but you get put in prison for armed robbery. Yet all sins are the same in one respect. They all separate you from God and bar you from heaven. You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Jesus tells us. The law of God makes no distinction, but declares that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And St. James tells us that whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. This is what it means for the valleys to be raised and the hills to be made low. We are all on the same level ground. God has imprisoned everyone under sin so that he may have mercy on all. Before the judgment seat of God, it doesn't matter who is a better or worse sinner. Quibbling about that is like fighting to get on the bow or the stern of the Titanic while it's sinking. No, we are all sinners. None of us can save ourselves. We all need a savior. That is why John, the voice, was sent from God, first to tell us to confess about ourselves that we are sinners, so that we know we need a savior. Now that we have confessed ourselves to be sinners who deserve nothing but punishment, John teaches us to confess something about Christ. The very next verse, after our gospel lesson, the evangelist writes, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.' Now you see why it is so important that you first confess about yourself that you are a sinner, before you then confess who Christ is. If you do not confess yourself to be a sinner, then this Christ will be of no help to you. Yet since you confess, and the voice has taught you that you are a sinner, then what this voice teaches you to confess about the Christ is the most wonderful message your tongue can declare. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God. That is, he is the appointed sacrifice who makes atonement for our sins. He takes away the sin of the world. Which sin? The sin of the world. All of it. Whatever sin there is in the world, Jesus takes it away. So, are you a sinner in the world? Then Jesus has taken away your sin. He bore it all as he went to the cross. His dying takes it away forever. Now through faith in this Lamb of God, you are free from the eternal consequences of your sin. You have no fear of hell. You are forgiven and redeemed." The voice is not finished with his task by only teaching you to confess that you are a sinner. He must also teach you to confess about the Christ that he takes away your sin. This is why the prophet Isaiah proclaims, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." This is the instruction God gives John, the voice in the wilderness, to make straight the way of Christ Jesus into our hearts. And this is the instruction God gives to every voice he sends to proclaim the gospel. Our hearts are not prepared to receive Christ simply by confessing about ourselves that we are sinners. Our hearts are prepared to receive Christ when we confess about him that he takes our sins away. "Cry to her," our God says, "that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." God's warfare against us is over because his wrath is taken away. Our iniquities are forgiven. We have received double for our sins, meaning not only has the price of our sin been paid on the cross so that we have no need to suffer the punishment for our sins, but we also receive the reward of heirs of the kingdom of God. All this is communicated to us sinners by the words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is why we not only confess our sins every Sunday, but we confess these same words of John the Baptist, "O Christ, thou Lamb of God that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us." This is the confession of those whose hearts have made way for the Lord. This is the confession of those who are saved. Amen. We thank you for joining us today. Trinity Lutheran Church invites you to join us at one of our services. We worship every Saturday night at 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock a.m. We are located on Shull Avenue in Ottumwa. We're the church on the hill right next to Wildwood Park. You can learn more about us at our website, trinitylutheranottumwa.com, and contact me, Pastor James Price. I'd love to hear from you. And you can also go to christforus.org to hear more of these sermons as well. Next week, we will have our Christmas broadcast. It'll still be within the 12 days of Christmas. So please tune in again next week for another broadcast of Christ for Us.